They want me to...
Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBA.
Get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are Covenants?
Or Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
This is On the Commons with your host, Sue Bartholomew. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And joining us on the Commons today, we have a young lady, a disabled veteran, who lives in San Antonio, Texas. And she's going to tell us exactly why the lies that we hear about how wonderful and what little pockets of democracy up close and personal HOAs are. And she'll explain all that to us. And her name is Brenda Johnson. Brenda, thank you so much for joining us today. You've had a really, really rough time of it lately, haven't you?
Man, have I! I tell you, I'm in homeowner HE double hockey sticks. I guess is the safest way to say it. But it is horrible. I mean, I'm finding out that joining an HOA, and I didn't consider myself joining an HOA. All I thought I was doing was buying a house.
Big mistake.
And what I've done is join an organization that has all the democracy of pre-change Russia. I mean, I have no rights anymore. We started out with first in November 2008. They decided to close our board meetings and say we couldn't attend them. Then for the town hall meetings, which we have quarterly, they decided that we could attend, but we could only talk about the prescribed discussions that they had, and we couldn't vary from those discussions or else we'd be escorted out by law enforcement.
So what's the difference between a board meeting and a town hall meeting?
Well, a board meeting is when the board gets together and discusses the business, where they make the actual decisions.
Is that an executive session? Is it closed?
Well, it used to be that there was an executive session in which they discussed anything that, you know, that had to be preserved because of people's identity and so forth or something or sensitive matters, and then they had the open session. But now all board meetings are closed. They have monthly board meetings, but we're not allowed to attend.
Is that does the law not mandate that they be open for the homeowners, or is that not part of it?
Not in Texas. Texas says that all governments must have open board meetings, but we are not considered to be a government, and so we do not have to have open board meetings.
So all of this nonsense about democracy up close and personal, where you actually have a little more control over what goes on in your association or in your neighborhood, that's a bunch of bunk, isn't it?
Totally, especially in our neighborhood, because they also control the newsletter, and I can't tell you the things they're writing in the newsletter. I mean, much of it borders on slander, or is out-and-out slander. So they control the newsletter. They control the website. We're not allowed to go to any of the board meetings. We can't speak up at any of the town meetings. So it's like we're blind and we're deaf. And then at the last town hall meeting, where I decided to ask another board member who was willing to talk about some things, some questions about the association, I was then handcuffed by the sheriff's department and thrown in the back of a cruiser. That was last week.
You know, that's what that's what got my attention, and that's what we're going to be coming back and talking about, because you're not the only person this has happened to. This has happened a lot, and if you called law enforcement and said, you know, they've done this, that, and the other, oh, well, it's a civil matter, but then...
Yeah.
But then when the board calls and says, we want this person removed from the meeting, they're there, which is outrageous. But I want to go back before we get to that. I mean, you've dangled a carrot right there. So, you know, people are going to stay tuned to hear about that. But before we get to that, this has been ongoing. You tried to remove the board, which is about the only remedy that is available to you, according
right.
to the industry and all these wonderful people who know what they're talking about, that if you don't like what the board's doing, then you remove the board. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work, did it?
No, last year, actually a little over a year ago this time, probably around February and so forth, because we were upset about the board meetings being closed and several other things that were happening within the neighborhood, we started demanding that the board at least have a special meeting to meet with the residents. They wouldn't do that. So then we decided that we needed to, we passed a petition around, got way more than the required number of signatures, requiring a special meeting according to our covenants. Our covenants called for 1/8 of the eligible homeowners, and we have 1,132 homes here. So we had way more than the number, and to call for a special meeting. And then they refused to hold a special meeting. So we held one ourselves, and we voted them out, and then they sued us.
Why did they not allow you to hold a special meeting? What was their reasoning for that?
Well, that's the part, frankly, that perplexes me. Their position is that there were not enough signatures, enough of the required signatures. But if I were on the board and 10 residents let me know that they were concerned about something and there was an issue, it would seem to me that I should be listening to them. When you have, you know, a couple hundred people saying, hey, I'd like to, you know, talk about this, you would think that even, like I said, even if it's only 50 people, it would seem to me that it would behoove you to hold a meeting and hear what they have to say.
And so they didn't want to hear what you had to say, basically.
That's since I'm in litigation, I can't say that, you know, unequivocally, but yeah, that's my take on it, is that, and their subsequent actions have given that impression as well. They really don't want to hear from residents.
Your documents call for, what, 3 board members?
Yes. Not just our documents, but the state of Texas, the law says that no corporation may have fewer than 3 directors.
And you currently only have 2.
We have 2 directors. And actually only one that's actually running the association, because the one director who was part of that that board that we tried to remove last year, it remains, and the other director is one of my co-litigants. He's one of my co-defenders.
So, okay, who filed the lawsuit?
The association filed the lawsuit.
Filed a lawsuit against you guys.
Against 8 homeowners, 8 of the, you know, few hundred people who were part of the ouster of the election.
So a few hundred people decided, we really don't like this board. We're going to do what CAI tells us we have a right to do,
mm-hmm.
which is we're going to recall the board because that's the only remedy that we have.
Right.
And so you get the signatures, and you say we're going to hold a special meeting. You're not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened to the only remedy you have? Where did that go?
Yeah, they're not arguing whether we had the right to hold the meeting. All they're arguing is that we didn't have enough signatures for the special meeting to even take place. So then, and here's the really interesting part. Now, we already employ an attorney for the association, but that attorney is not the one handling this case. It's a different attorney. So we're actually employing 2 attorneys right now, and I guess you could call this attorney that's handling this case a special prosecutor, because that seems to be the only position that, because we still have the regular association attorney.
So is this the insurance attorney, or is this someone?
Oh no, that's the third law. That's the third law firm that's involved. Is the insurance. So in essence, this actually one board member that remains has three law firms representing her with our money, and then we have one attorney that we're paying for in addition to the money, you know, in addition to the association funds.
So you're paying insurance premiums. The insurance has got someone there to fight against you.
Mm-hmm.
The one board member that you tried to oust, right?
Right.
Is still hanging on, and she's got two attorneys in addition mm-hmm. to the insurance attorney.
Yes.
And you're paying for all of that, plus you have to hire your own attorney to represent you.
Yes.
What's wrong with that picture? What is wrong with, whatever happened to democracy up close and personal?
Well, see, that's the part that they don't explain to us. What they don't explain to us is that when you sign at closing, and you join, when you sign for a house that you're buying in an HOA, you are, in essence, joining an association that you are now a member of, and as a member of that association, you have decided to give up all your constitutional rights. That's the part they forget to tell us.
Well, you know, we start this show every week with "You're now leaving the American zone."
So
bye-bye to your constitutional rights. I went to the CAI Law Seminar in January, and
mm-hmm.
one of the attorneys there, one of the presenters, and this is the part that really I found terribly offensive, made the comment that, and she's instructing her fellow attorneys to think of the board members as the parents,
mm-hmm.
and all those little pesky homeowners as the children.
Yes.
So the parents make the rules, and the parents make the decisions, and the parents tell the little children what they're supposed to do, and then the children have got to obey. And, you know, if they don't, there's hell to pay. That seems a little different from, wait a minute, you know, this is democracy up close and personal, and you have a right to participate. This gives you control over what happens in your HOA, in your neighborhood.
Yeah, especially since they tell us, I mean, belatedly, but, you know, once I find out that I'm actually part of a membership association, you know, that means that we as an association are making decisions, and that's why, you know, supposedly the state stays out of it. Well, if that's the case, then it would seem that I should have some right on what decisions are made.
Well, you should have a voice in it, because that's what these things are supposed to do. We're talking to Brenda Johnson. Brenda Johnson is a homeowner in the Ventura Homeowners Association in San Antonio, Texas. And even though the law and her governing documents require that they have three board members, they currently have two. And for some reason, they're not being allowed to hold a special election, which is what is called for, to appoint a third or to elect a third member.
What was most frustrating for us, well, let me add one point since you bring that up. We just got notification yesterday that they are indeed going to now hold the special election. It's going to be held June 1st. But we are being given the opportunity we've been told which candidate we can vote for. So in other words, when our documents say that when you have a special meeting, you must say what the special meeting is for. And what that means is you can't conduct other business. But the special meeting is supposed to be to elect someone to replace that missing board member. But what has been written to us is we are having a special election to elect this particular person to the board.
And who is this particular person? One of the president's cronies, or
yes,
someone, not someone that you guys have decided? Was there ever a nominating committee? Was there ever
no?
Did they seek volunteers or candidates?
No.
Did
no.
they send out any information about who was going to be running for this vacant position?
No one was given an opportunity to run for the vacancy. And I've been asking them since January after the death of our vice president, I've been asking them since January when they're going to have this special meeting. So now they decide to have it, but they you know, they've had all this time, and that person who calls herself the board president has been saying that, yes, I have to have a special meeting, but there's no time limit.
So we can drag it on for forever. How long are the terms of the board members? Is it 1 year terms, 2 year terms, 3 year terms?
Yes, to all of those. One is elected for 3 years, one is elected for two, and one is elected for one.
So they're multi-year terms. So
yes.
So the person who's being, for all intents and purposes, appointed, could conceivably be there for what, 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a choice.
Well, they say we don't have a choice. We'll see on June 1st. but that we're not being given one, no.
Do you have nominations from the floor? Do you have anybody who's willing to step up and fight this woman?
I am.
You're willing to get on the board?
Oh, gosh, I don't want to be on the board again. We have other people, though, who had already been elected at the special meeting. We had five people that we had elected. But again, the way that the meeting has been worded, there's no place for nominations. It's vote for this guy. That's the way it's worded. So we're going to have to see what happens before June 1st.
So you could end up with a two against one situation.
Well, that's obviously what they're angling for.
And right now, how do you break ties?
Right now, we don't even get ties. You would think that there should be some ties, but the purported president has been making decisions without the other director altogether. He has made objections to funds being paid because the state law also says that no business can be conducted at board meetings without a quorum, and a quorum cannot be less than three. And the only business you can discuss without a quorum is getting a quorum, in other words, replacing that board member. But business has been decided, funds are being expended, you know, decisions being made about the association, and that other board member is being left out. So there are no ties. She's just running roughshod over him.
So you don't have a homeowners association.
We don't.
You have a kingdom.
We have a dictatorship, yes.
Yeah, you have a queen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Her Royal Highness has decided.
Her Royal Highness, yes.
Her Royal Highness.
There are a couple things that I kind of wanted to say, and that is that, you know, when most of us buy a home in a homeowners association, all we think we're doing is buying a house. When they told me that I was buying into a deed mandated community, and I asked what that meant, they said that means that you're buying into a community where everyone has requirements to maintain their property. And you also get a pool, and you get some tennis courts, and you get a community center. And you have to pay yearly assessments to keep those up. If you do not pay those assessments, then they can place a lien on your property. That's what that means.
And that sounds fairly innocuous.
Yes, and you're like, well, sure, sign me up.
Oh, yeah, I'll go for
Why not? then you get in and you find out, no, you haven't bought a house in a place where they are going to keep it up. You have actually joined an association. You have become a member of a club, and now here are all these rules. And by the way, those other members of that club, if they decide they don't like you, they can take your house.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Someplace I read that they decided some of the people who voted last year were not members in good standing. I hear you giggling. What constitutes a member not in good standing in your kingdom, your realm?
Well, technically, a member not in good standing is someone who hasn't paid their assessments or is involved in some other dispute with the board. And so what happened was we expected that there was going to be some kind of challenge even, you know, after that special meeting. So we just figured, okay, in October when we have that special meeting took place on June 30th. So we hung on until October 1st thinking, okay, at the annual meeting, this is all going to be taken care of. It'll be vindicated. We had a larger turnout at our annual meeting than we've ever had in the history of the association. Everybody's loaded for bear. And then we get shut down by the, I call her the special prosecutor because I can't think of any other name for it. But although in both at the special meeting and at the annual meeting, she said that she was the association attorney. But we already have an association attorney. But at any rate, a number of people showed up to vote the way they normally do. For the first time, we had to show our IDs. We've never had to do that before.
You had to show IDs?
Had to show IDs.
You're kidding.
No. This was like vote. Yeah, there were more restrictions than I've been a precinct voting judge, and I'm telling you, there were more restrictions for us to vote than for voting for the President of the United States.
Well, you've got a queen here, not a president.
That's true. And with the queen, I don't even know why we had a board meeting anyway.
I know.
So we all show up, and a number of people show up, and they, like, one of the guys came over to me. He goes, Brenda, they're telling me that I'm not a member in good standing. And I said, what do you mean? I said, well, did you receive a notice? And he said, no. I had no idea that I wouldn't. Nobody's told me. I had my pool passes that I've been using and everything. So what he told me was, apparently what had happened was he had paid his assessments at the end of January when they were due, but apparently he didn't get it in the nanosecond early enough because he got it in over the weekend, and they assumed that any mail that came in over the weekend that the people were late, and so they then assessed a late fee on those people. But they just didn't tell them.
They never do. They don't have to, you know. They just assess fines and late fees and legal fees and you know, your check comes in and they don't have to accept it. They can apply the check to anything they want to apply the check to, and off we go. You know, that's a great way to say, hey, you're not a member in good standing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there have been situations where the manager decided, if the board, the current board, is replaced by the board the people want, then I'm going to be out of a job.
Right.
So therefore, what they do is right before elections, they mail out violation notices.
So but they didn't even do that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the type of game that mm-hmm. they play. They'll send out violation notices. Violation notices can be anything from a cracked flower pot to a dusty mailbox.
I agree, and that's what has amazed me, because when she sent out a letter to an open letter to the residents, she said that this lawsuit was nothing more than just another enforcement of a violation. But what's interesting is that all of our governing documents say that if you are in violation, there are these different steps that have to take place before you get to a lawsuit. And all those steps were skipped with us.
Oh, but, you know, we don't need to bother with that nonsense.
They're just rules.
Who needs it? Who needs that stuff when you can do whatever you want to do, which is essentially what they want to do? I mean, you know, they can get all kinds of support, and the homeowners are pretty much left holding the bag. So you tried to oust the board because this board was not doing what you want, you know, was not representing
you.
Yeah, we weren't
happy with them, so we think, okay, they didn't listen to us at the special meeting. Big surprise. We know that, you know, they're not really interested in what we have to say. But at the board, I mean, at the annual meeting, you know, all bets are off because, you know, we've removed people, we've voted in new boards, we've made new rules, we've changed the bylaws. That's what an annual meeting is for. Well, not according to the special prosecutor.
Was one of the things that you might have done replacing the board, or the board, the association attorney and the management company, would that have been something that the new board might have considered doing?
Yes, and that was actually one of the things that we were going to vote on. But we don't have a management company.
You don't?
We have individually, we individually hire our managers.
So you have an executive director or a property manager?
We, but it's someone that we hire. So.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be a CAI-sanctioned management company, but I mean, you can hire anyone to run the association for you. I think they're better, generally speaking.
Well, I'd like to think so, but unfortunately, you know, when you have someone who's running a kingdom, what they then do is hire serfs.
That's very true. that's very true. So you kind of have to remove the king, the queen.
Mm-hmm.
And but this is, but you know, it's the manager who's also understands that their job is in jeopardy if there's a turnover of the board. So they're the ones who are going to be handling the day-to-day operations. They're the ones who are going to be able to sort of decide how to bury the bodies and where to bury the bodies and how to shift things around. They're the ones who handle the books and records. They're the ones who know that, oops, you're
okay.
2 seconds late on your assessment. Therefore, we've got a penalty, a fine.
Well, that's the interesting thing in this case. We would not necessarily have replaced the manager. The manager's job was not necessarily in jeopardy. That's what's interesting about all of this. But the board, definitely, and the board and that particular, the association attorney was not necessarily in danger, which is not the attorney that's handling this lawsuit.
Oh, really? So you weren't really upset with the attorney either?
We were upset with the attorney who was attending the annual meeting, representing herself as the association attorney. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what's so convoluted about this. Our association attorney was not at the meeting. The attorney who did attend, who said she was there to represent the association, is actually prosecuting us defendants and acting on the behalf of this one board member, although she's being paid with association funds and supposedly acting on behalf of the association. But the association was not allowed to give its own voice of, we'd like to stop the lawsuit, because that was another one of the things they brought up from the floor. But that attorney advised everyone present that we could not discuss anything except replacing, once again, except voting to fill that one vacant seat on the board that exists, that was all that we could do at the annual meeting, which is contrary to the definition of anyone's definition of an annual meeting.
Well, yeah, an annual meeting is what the homeowners decide they want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
and it should be open. You know, when all of these HOAs first started, the idea of the meeting, there were no board meetings. There were homeowner meetings.
Right.
And they were open to everyone, and the homeowners were allowed to participate. I mean, it was their lives that was being discussed. They would have to pay for all of this stuff, and they had an equal, you know, they didn't have a vote, but they could certainly provide the input.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a little harder to control people when people were allowed to participate. So then they changed it from a homeowners meeting to a board meeting, but they graciously left the annual meeting, and the annual meeting was only for the purpose of the homeowners. That was the one day a year. I mean, that one day a year is supposed to represent your democratic rights,
right,
in the association. One day a year.
One day. Only
one day, one voice, one day, one vote.
And even that was taken from us.
And even that's gone. Bye-bye.
You know, when I go online and I, since getting involved in all of this, you know, I've gone and I've been told by so many different agencies, from the district attorney to the attorney general to the local sheriff's department to the Federal Trade Commission, that, you know, basically the message that I get is buyer beware. So I went online to see, okay, exactly where are they telling us what we're getting into?
They're not.
I go to the Attorney General's site. He's got a whole different section on what you should, you know, what steps you should take when buying a home, blah, blah, blah. No mention of HOAs. I go to HUD, you know, because by the way, every single one of the people, every single one of the eight defendants in this lawsuit, we are all VA homeowners. We all got VA home loans. So those are federally guaranteed loans. And still we have no protection.
So the VA is not going to protect you?
Well, state laws don't provide for it. And as a matter of fact, right now I'm working on a joint resolution and a bill, and I'm going to be looking for an author soon. Because once I discovered that, I was like, okay, that's the key to this. If they could start controlling all of those homes that are guaranteed with federal dollars, that's going to have a big impact on the industry. And that's where the federal government can weigh in. They can't necessarily do anything on the state's level because attorney generals like mine will line up to say, you're trying to take our rights away from us. So
it's basically search the money and find out where this... No, I agree with you. I think the feds have sort of taken a step backwards. Although HUD actually encourages... HOAs, they've got a HUD writer that goes with the HOAs. They're very, very involved in them. And they tend to be more pro anything if there's an HOA involved. I think they want to throw everyone in one of these infernal things.
Well, the other thing, too, is that if you're buying a condo through a VA loan or whatever, it has to be an approved and one of the things is because there's an HOA. So that condo site has to be an approved one. It has to be on the approved list.
There's a difference between a condo and an HOA because
yeah.
A condo comes under, there's a particular law.
Mm-hmm.
The Puerto Rican, I think it's something, Horizontal Act.
Right.
And that's because you're not actually buying land. You're not
right.
Buying real estate. You're buying airspace.
Right.
So that is a whole, basically a whole different ball game.
Yeah, because you're basically sharing the physical plant, as it were, with other people.
Right. The walls, doors, roofs, all of that. And what you actually own is airspace. But when you buy in an HOA, where you actually own the land in fee
mm-hmm.
simple.
But you don't. When you buy into an HOA, it's actually, you already established a lien. So as long as you do what they want them to do, you get to stay in your house and pretend you own it. But don't cross them.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've taken away, I mean, there's a whole bunch, when you buy real estate, you buy a whole bundle of rights that comes
mm-hmm.
with the real estate. And what they've done is they've just, it's like a, you know, go out in the woods and pick up a whole bunch of sticks and tie them together. And that's kind of what you used to be able to buy when you bought real estate.
Right.
But when there's an HOA, you know, a lot of those sticks have been removed. So what you end up with is the duty to do as you're told.
Right.
You know, you're the children. Don't forget, you're the children. You've got to do what, you know, what you're told to do. You sent me a bunch of information by email, and I was looking through some of it, and then I sat there and read it. You know, there's something here I don't understand. It said, insurance counsel suggested all board meetings be suspended until mediation was conducted or concluded. Who's mediating what?
Well, that was when after we didn't have a voice with the annual meeting, then the residents, 62 residents, signed a statement basically asking for an injunction. So we went back to court again, and we were asking for an injunction basically to make them cease and desist anything. Excuse me, until that was done. Well, when we went to court, there were over 200 cases that needed to be heard that day. and so the insurance company approached our counsel and said, well, listen, can't we, isn't there some agreement we can come in so we can, you know, avoid the injunction thing? How about we agree to just not have any board meetings until we have mediation, and we agree that mediation will be over? This was in November that we had this, that we were at this hearing. I believe it was November 12th. And how about we agree that everything's going to be decided, mediation done, everything by the end of December? If we can agree it, and why don't we just say there can be no board meetings until then so that, you know, everything is clear? Well, the Queen and her counsel opposed vehemently. And so our person who had been elected at that annual meeting, the one thing that we were allowed to do, and the lead person on this lawsuit was then named the director. We said, okay, if you can have, if you're going to have your board meetings, and that's the only way we're going to get you to agree to mediation by the end of the year, then you have to agree that you'll at least conduct this board meeting with him, and you'll call him, and he'll be able to, you know, participate in the board meeting via phone, and you'll send him the agenda and all of that.
So this was an actual board member, and they didn't want him to participate in...
Oh, they have not allowed him. He was elected secretary-treasurer. They removed him. He holds no office. He's just a director. If you go to our website, you'll see it. I mean, they've even appointed two other ex officio officers, and one of those ex officio officers is one of those... was the former board member whose spot was vacated at the annual meeting. She is now the secretary-treasurer.
What's your...
Ex officio.
Ex officio. What's your website?
It's Ventura, VHOA.com.
VHOA?
Mm-hmm, I think so, yeah. Let me look real quick. www.VenturaVHOA.com.
Okay. So anybody who wants to go online and follow through on what's going on in this particular wonderful little oasis of placidity in the middle of San Antonio can do so.
Let me just give a disclaimer about that website. You're going to see a whole bunch of one-sided stuff that's amazing. You're also going to see our the depositions of the defendants. When they had they posted the depositions online.
They posted their your depositions online?
Yes.
What about theirs? Have they been taken?
They have only recently posted theirs. And we weren't even allowed to perform all the depositions that we had asked for, nor did they bring the information that we subpoenaed.
Do you have a separate homeowners, not the HOA, but an unofficial website?
We had tried. Unfortunately, it seemed like every time we would put something up, they would, like, infiltrate it, and then we'd see some kind of legal action associated with it. So we just, after a while, felt that it wasn't even worth it.
You're kidding.
Mm-mm.
So they wouldn't allow you to have your own...
Well, we'd see a motion in the lawsuit, you know, for more discovery and, you know, so, you know, about that specific... It was crazy.
Because there are a lot of associations that are having problems. A lot of them have unofficial websites.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that Zogby, the CAI keeps hiring Zogby and conducting these idiotic polls to find
out.
Yeah,
I saw that poll.
You saw that poll? Well,
yeah.
The latest. This is their fourth poll in 10 years.
Yeah, about how happy we all are.
I know. Did anyone from Zogby call you guys?
They couldn't have talked to anybody from this association.
Maybe the Queen, huh?
Yeah, that would be about the only one.
And you said there are 1,300 homes?
There's 1,320 homes.
Okay. So
I'm sorry, 1,132 homes, I'm sorry.
Okay. So, well, you know, over a thousand homes.
We're a large association, and I think that's part of the reason that we have so many of the problems that we have, and it's also why we are so attractive to the CAI industry, because of course they can come in, and I mean they can have foreclosure actions going all the time, and the residents wouldn't even know.
Some of the nastiest stuff that I've seen go on has gone on in smaller associations.
Oh.
They are vindictive. It's like catfights.
Yeah.
They're horrible. I mean, we're talking less than 5 units.
Oh, yes. Oh, wow.
Those are really nasty. Or less than 10 units, those can be really obnoxious.
Because they're so personal.
Exactly.
And that actually is what's going on here because people
is.
Who are being sued, that's basically what it is. It's a personal vendetta, in my opinion.
It is. I mean, it's always personal, which is why, you know, when you've got at least a real government, there's a little distance and people don't necessarily know each other and they don't have to live together. I mean, here it gets nasty.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely horrible, and the homeowners have their backs, you know, their hands tied behind their backs. And we're going to get to that because that's the crux of what's going on here. But we are talking to Brenda Johnson, and Brenda's a homeowner in Ventura HOA, the Homeowners Association in San Antonio, that has had a number of problems, and these problems have been ongoing for a long time, and notwithstanding the fact that they have done everything that they are told, that we are all told is our sole remedy in associations, none of it has worked because they've just been thwarted at every turn. And so the only people who are gaining out of this are the CAI attorneys, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your neighbor, I mean, it's not a community, is it?
I like my neighbors and so forth, but yeah, now we've been so divided that, I mean, yeah, we're all scared to talk to each other.
Yeah. And any lies that have been told?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
The personal attacks, the ad hominem attacks, you know?
Oh, well, again, in the newsletters, you just, you wouldn't believe the stuff that they're saying. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some things that they hear. I mean, they've talked about they haven't really made it clear to the residents that this lawsuit was brought by them. A lot of people have the impression that it was brought by two particular people in the lawsuit who are also, they have a separate lawsuit because of slander. But they make it sound like that was brought first, but it wasn't. They are writing things about how, for example, they're claiming that a board member that is one of the people who is being sued was a former board member, took a whole box of records away from the association. They've claimed or intimated that we forged a lot of the signatures on the petition. I mean, there have been any number of things. I mean, and there's one person that they're putting up to be elected, that one name that we have, he's been customarily given like 2 pages to just rant, and he just says basically inflammatory things.
Yeah, it sounds like these things. I mean, this happens all over the country, and HOAs all over the place. But things got even a little more exciting. You had a board meeting not too long ago?
Well, they called it a town hall meeting.
Okay, now, you did. Is it the same place, same people? It's open to the homeowners?
Yes. It's the one opportunity that they allow us to actually come together for a meeting now is for town hall meetings, although we're told, you know, what we can discuss. Well, in my opinion, we listened to the people who came to, it was the local school board, we had a nice discussion about all that, and then as they were leaving, I knew that the Queen didn't want to discuss anything that we were talking about, and so I asked if the other director would be willing to ask some questions about the HOA operations. He said, of course he would. He would not mind at all. And right away, from the back, you know, we hear the Queen saying, the meeting's over. And I said, well, I understand that you don't, you know, have things that you want to discuss with us, but you know, the other director would, and so, you know, the rest, and there were other people in the room, and none of them made a move, and they all wanted to hear what was being discussed. So then she told the constable to remove us, to remove me and the other director. So then she left, And so we're having a discussion. I thought I had reasonably explained to the constable about how he isn't just working for her, that he's working for the association, and therefore the other director has as much authority as she does. And we had our discussion, and our discussion concluded. I picked up my purse. I was headed out the door. I stopped to speak to, again, this gentleman who's been handpicked to be the successor in June, to ask him a couple questions about some of the things that he had written in the newsletter. And that's when the sheriff's department came in. And they just come right to me, out, out, out. And I'm looking around, and I'm going, am I the only one that's got... So I'm thinking, okay, they just don't understand the situation. So I start trying to explain. Long story short, I didn't get to explain anything. You know, I was basically told that I was committing criminal trespass, I was cuffed, and I was propelled from the building. The cuffs were too tight. I was asking them please to loosen them. I was shocked. I was explaining, how can I be committing criminal trespass when I'm on property that I own? You know, and the deputy's going, you own the property? And I said, well, yes, I do. And he says, you're telling me that you own this building. I said, well, I own the building as much as any other member in good standing, including, you know, the person who's told you to cuff me. Yes. But they didn't want to hear it.
Texas seems to be the only state that I know of that has constables. Are these legitimate police officers, or?
I'm confused about the whole constable thing, but frankly, what I've seen that constables do, you know, when you have, in normal situations, there's a portion of the sheriff's department that has to go out and they have to perform serving warrants and they have to perform evictions and notifications of evictions and foreclosures and that sort of thing. That seems to be the constable's duty here in Texas.
And so they're part of the sheriff's department?
They belong to the county. I don't even think they're part of the sheriff's department. They're a separate entity.
So they're actually county employees?
They are county employees, but... When they are working for the association, this is the other part that confuses me. They are technically on their own time, but they are in uniform and they're driving the car, the county car.
So they're okay. Wait a minute. So you, Brenda, you've got me all confused.
I know.
Yes.
Welcome to my world.
I thought I dealt with this stuff all the time. All right. So you pay taxes to
mm-hmm.
the county, and you've got law enforcement that is supposed to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pay assessments to the association that then, in addition to the taxes that you pay, actually hire these people in uniform using taxpayer-funded vehicles, uniforms, and all the rest of it.
Yes.
To come and...
To keep me from speaking out at my meetings.
Okay. You're not the only one who ended up being cuffed up and thrown in the back of a cruiser, right?
No, the other director was also cuffed and thrown in the back of the cruiser. And you would think that that's the person... I mean, that's the other person in authority for the association, supposedly.
So you had one director and one homeowner who had to... Who had to spend the bulk of the meeting in handcuffs in the back of the cruiser.
Well, I spent 40 minutes. I think he was released within about 10 or 15 minutes, and then he called the supervisor at the sheriff's department, and once that person arrived, then I was ordered to be released. But I sat in the back of the cruiser for about 40 minutes, and my other co-defendants who were also at the meeting were ordered to produce their IDs. And none of the other people were.
Produce what kind of IDs?
Their driver's license.
An official government. Mm-hmm. Not your HOA papers.
No. An official one. And their vehicles, they couldn't have left if they wanted to because their vehicles were blocked by the sheriff's department's cruisers. And then they were told they should have left. And they're like, well, we couldn't.
How many cruisers were there?
There were two cruisers of the two officers who showed up, and then a third cruiser when the supervisor showed up.
So the supervisor came and said, okay, release her.
Mm-hmm.
Any reason to believe that you could file a claim of false arrest or something against them? I mean, That's not normal behavior.
Not in my opinion. The sheriff apparently thinks. Other director told me that he had called and discussed it with them, and they said that as far as they could see that the officers did nothing wrong. But when I go online and I look, an arrest is when you reasonably believe that you have been detained by the police and are not allowed to leave. And to me, I was certainly arrested. And when I'm arrested, I'm supposed to be read my rights, and I was not read my rights.
You were not read your rights. You were tossed in the back of the cruiser. You were handcuffed. You were manhandled, basically.
I was.
So they weren't very gentle with you.
Not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, my thumb was bruised. My forefinger was scratched. It hurt. I mean, it was real. I had to ask them 3 times to please loosen the cuffs because it was hurting. And, I was pulled and pushed and, I was treated very poorly. And the part that's disturbing about that is that I have post-traumatic stress disorder. I could very easily have had a flashback in the back of that cruiser. And frankly, I'm surprised I didn't. I know I did have a couple of moments where I dissociated, and that means where you don't know where you are. It's like your mind takes you somewhere else. But I have had instances. I had one back in December in which I had to go to the ER as a result of this case because it reminded me when I was in the military I was raped, not once but twice, and that's what I am disabled from the VA for. And when I am in a situation in which I feel that I have, you know, that control has been taken from me, that I'm in danger or so forth, I easily have a flashback.
And you spent 40 minutes sitting back there. And in your email, you said you tried to reason with Constable or the sheriff or whoever it was.
With all of them, yeah.
What did they say? I mean, they charged you or they told you that the charge was criminal trespass. Did they file any papers? Did they
No, they didn't. They finally, as they were releasing me, the officer came over and said, well, I'm going to let you go. And he says, but you have to understand that, you know, I mean, it was kind of like he was going to give me a little speech, and I said, but I've done nothing wrong. He said, well, now we can change that, you know, I'm going to let you go, but, you know, we can still, and I said, well, officer, you do what you think you need to do, but I have done nothing wrong. There was no reason for me to be cuffed. This is my property. You cannot have criminal trespass when you own the property. He says, well, there would have been no way to lock up the building. She's the only one with the key. And I didn't say it to him, but in my mind I'm going, okay, I don't remember that being written anywhere in the law, that the person with the key, you know, that's the person who gets to determine whether it's criminal trespassing or not.
So you've got a court, you've got a lawsuit that's pending.
April 12th, we've filed for summary judgment. I mean, sorry, May 12th. We filed for summary judgment because for that year and so forth, even though they have maintained that we did not have the requisite number of signatures, they have yet to produce the proof. We have asked for it in letter form. We have had lawyers ask for it. We've had subpoenas issued for it. We still do not have that proof.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about it. It's something that I've heard of a number of times from a lot of people who have been cuffed and who have been arrested for nothing more than showing up at a meeting that they not only are told they have a right to attend, but they also have a duty to attend.
Yeah.
Because when all of a sudden you find that one of the lovely managers or somebody, rogue board members, has absconded with the money, the first person they're going to point their fingers at is the homeowner. And why weren't you paying attention, Miss Brenda? You should have been doing that. Oh, they've done that. It's a no-win situation. But so that's what we like to do. We like to point out the no-win situations, and we like to point out the fallacies of what goes on. And thank you so much, because you've sort of put a lot of stuff out there on the skyline. Explain to people what's going on.
And the one thing that I would like most people to understand is, because I hear it all the time, people say, well, gee, I'm certainly glad that I don't have that situation. And they want to give the impression that you know, you're kind of bringing it on them, on yourself.
Yeah.
And I explained to them that the only reason it hasn't happened to you or in your homeowners association is because it's purely by chance, because there is certainly nothing that can stop it from happening to you.
That's true. You're one election away. Brenda, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Don't let the buggers get you.
I won't.
Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.